4:36 on the Mike McFeely Show on this Monday. It hasn't moved like a Monday show, though. Fast-paced. A lot of action. Or at least it seems like it's moving well to me. Fast show. Sometimes Mondays drag, because it's Monday. And I spent so much time yesterday, of course, looking at the leaves at Itasca State Park, Pinto, which you don't appreciate nor ever want to do. What could I get you, besides from actually inviting you with us to go to Itasca State Park, what would get you to go to Itasca State Park and take a drive around and look at what I appreciate at least once a year? The leaves, the sky, the water, the trees, the smells.
If we did it from a boat. And not a motorboat, but like a canoe or paddle down. Because the Itasca State Park's the headwaters, right?
Of the Mississippi, yes.
Yeah. Get me in a canoe. I'll definitely go down the Mississippi. I love water. Nature, I do get along with. It's okay.
You get along with?
But I love water in general.
Badgers attacking you just for no reason?
No, honey badgers or anything like that. Good. But I get along with nature. And the water part to me is what is fascinating. So if I want to see leaves or if you could get me there, take me in a canoe.
Okay. Now I know. That's my goal for next year.
There you go.
Let's welcome in Clay Jenkinson to the program. He's our usual Monday guest in this spot. Hello, Mr. Clay Jenkinson. How are you doing today?
Hello, Mike. I guess I'm pouting now that you say that Monday's drag and I'm your Monday guest. That's great.
Now, come on now. Now, don't go down that road.
I'm sulking here in Western North Dakota. I can give you one history. I'd go to Itasca with you any time. And I'll tell you what, I have one piece of really poor historical trivia. The name Itasca is not a Native American name. It's a Latin. It comes from a Latin phrase called veritas caput, which means the true head or the true source.
Mm-hmm.
And when Schoolcraft discovered the true source, or what we take to be the true source of the Mississippi River, he said, this is the veritas caput, and if you take where off of it and the end, it's Itasca, taken out of that Latin phrase. Isn't that interesting? No.
The only program you could hear that on in the Fargo-Moorhead market and perhaps indeed the United States, the only AM talk radio show is this one right here with Clay Jenkinson.
I just thought you'd want to see what really dragging looks like.
Well, you're from Minnesota. You're from the Fergus Falls area originally.
I'm not, but my mother's from a farm in Fergus Falls. My father from Detroit Lakes.
So Itasca was sort of kind of in, you've been to Itasca before,
I've been there 50 times, but my father and mother took me there when I was about 6 years old. And I'll tell you what, when you're 6 years old and you go to the source of one of the world's great rivers, either I was already a nerd or any six-year-old is thrilled there. I mean, you actually walk across the source of a river that's 3 miles wide in some places.
Yes. Oh, no. And it's one of the, it, and I don't, we talked about this last Friday, and Daniel is a young whippersnapper of age.
He's a child, really.
He's really immature child, doesn't appreciate a lot of the finer things in life, and nor may he ever. But he was chiding me for going to Itasca and looking at colorful leaves, and I said, it's much more than just that, Daniel. And but he kept on mocking me, and so I'm paying him back as much as I can today.
No, this is like Devil's Lake with trees.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But it is, it's if not my favorite day of the year, one of my favorite days of the year, because we pile the family into the family truckster and we head up 2 hours, up to Park Rapids, and we walk around, and my daughter walks across the headwaters of the Mississippi, and I take 500 of the same photographs I take every single year of the same trees looking the same color, and I post them on the internet and I put them on Facebook. And to me, it's every year is exciting, which again,
that's so sweet. And I think that's an important family tradition. And we would do it in my family if we weren't so far away now from Itasca. But no one in the Fargo, Moorhead, or Grand Forks area should fail to go there in the fall to see. I mean, it's absolutely one of the greatest places in North America. And you can go there, and there are almost no people there. I'm surprised you didn't say you had a station wagon with a little, mini trailer behind it and an old thermos that was, but that's great. I love your mythology.
Clay, let's get to more serious and certainly not as enjoyable topics. Government shutdown in Washington, D.C. You were just in D.C., I think, for much of last week. What's happening to this country? What's happening to us? What's happening to Washington, D.C.? Why can't our politicians who we sent, who we pay their paychecks every couple of weeks, however they get paid in D.C., why can't they get anything done? Why are we in this lock in this country?
Well, I say a pox on both their houses. I mean, I think this is a bipartisan problem. It's not just one party or the other. It's not President Obama. It's a broken system. But I do strongly believe that the number one culprit this time is the right wing of the Republican Party led by the Tea Party, and that what they are doing, Mike, and I'm sure you agree, is holding hostage the most important country on earth because they can't accept the fact that Obamacare was passed by both houses of Congress, signed by the president, vetted by the Supreme Court, and then tested in the 2012 election, in which Mitt Romney said if he were elected, the first thing he would do would be to defund it, and he lost, and he lost decisively. So why can't they finally just say, okay, I guess the American people want this program, which I don't like, but they do, and that's how law works under our Constitution.
Because it's been their campaign slogan. It's been what the Tea Party was built on in a lot of ways. It's their one single issue, and they can't give it up, Clay. Now, as I said earlier in my program today, in a way, they have given it up because last week, all we were talking about was defunding Obamacare. Now, this week or over the weekend, it has now switched to the debt ceiling and giving concessions here and there. And why can't the Democrats come to the table and compromise? They can't figure out what they want. But they must have figured out now that they can't defeat Obamacare because they've moved on.
I think what happened was, and this is going to be one of the great historical ironies, is that they actually guaranteed the survival of Obamacare because they put the president and the Democrats into the position of being able to do nothing but say no. This was passed into law, vetted by the Supreme Court. There was an election over it. The fact is we can't now surrender to this sort of hostage-taking, the hijacking of the government of the United States, because that would be an appalling violation of constitutional norms. And so the right-wing Republicans, instead of damaging Obamacare, have actually forced its success and brought this ruin upon themselves. I have concerns about Obamacare. I'll bet you have concerns about Obamacare. But you cannot hold a great nation hostage when elections have already settled these issues. And so this was one of the most strategically disastrous things that the right wing of the Republican Party could do. They held their party hostage, the country hostage, and now you see the retreat. Now they're on the debt ceiling, and they want to talk about broader budget cuts, which I'm all for.
Well, and sure. I mean, let's talk about those things, but why in this context? Are they going to pay a price for this? Are the American people going to see, okay, they held us hostage over this one single issue that was already passed into law? They clearly lost that fight, so now they've pivoted to something else, and they're trying to find anything that they can get out of this and save face with this, Clay. Does the right wing of the Republican Party, do the Tea Partiers pay a price for this in certain districts? Now, we all know that there are certain congressional districts that are so gerrymandered that they're never going to elect anything but a Republican, and maybe North Dakota is one of those just by default almost, and it hasn't been gerrymandered, it's just the makeup of the state. But is there a price to be paid? Or yes. Do these people still continue to win elections and have some semblance of power?
If we had good civics training in the country, they would pay a price because they have done an unconstitutional and really dangerous thing here. I don't think they will pay that price. 80% of all congressional districts are gerrymandered, so they're safe districts. Of course, North Dakota has no choice. We just get one. But there are no really competitive districts left in the country, which means that people can be leftist, as Nancy Pelosi is, or rightist, as somebody else might be, and they pay no penalty. In fact, they're egged on, and if they're not sufficiently extremist in their views, on the left or on the right, they get primaried out of existence. And so we have to fix, by scientific sampling, the gerrymandering problem and redistrict the country so that as many districts as possible are truly competitive again, and then people will drift back to the center.
And the chances of that happening are 1% or less than 1%, Clay?
Less than 0.1%. But that's what we need to do. If there's going to be a revolution in the country, the people should say, we demand a scientific redistricting of the country to create an actual competitive House of Representatives. That would be the number one thing we could do to take back America, much better than screaming about the EPA or screaming about Obamacare. We should create an actual competitive congressional system.
I do a blog at KFGO.com, and I write about a variety of topics, and sometimes I write actual, real, somewhat literary things and commentaries.
I've seen them. You're excellent.
And opinions. And some days I just put fun stuff up, maybe a video clip that I find amusing or some photos I took of pretty leaves at Itasca State Park. I go across the gamut of my interests in life. It happens to be the most popular blog in the Midwest Communications family.
Wait a minute, say that again. You, Mike McFeely,
write the most
popular blog in the Midwest Communications system.
That's exactly right.
Congratulations.
But here's the depressing part, is that when I write something fairly serious and I try to talk politics or policy or even offer my opinion about something political, it gets far fewer views and far fewer number of clicks on it than if I write about NDSU football or some big fish being caught on Devil's Lake or a really funny video of Miley Cyrus shaking her rear end around. That to me tells me that America just doesn't really care that much, Clay, that all of our congressional districts are gerrymandered to the point that only one person in one party can win.
That might be true. On the other hand, people might take you to be a humorist. And they wish that you would be a humorist all the time and not sully your beautiful soul with dirty politics. You know, we don't know. We'd have to test this.
I have a feeling that that's not it. I have a feeling that my sense is better than
yours. You probably need to take a break, but I have some things to say about the Washington Redskins if we have more time.
Yes, let's take a break right now, Clay, and we will return with him.